I'll carry you, you'll carry me, we'll help each other through it. Come on and see, good movement draws good movement.
Welcome to Good Movement Draws Good Movement, the podcast where farmers, ranchers, and rural folks can grow relationally through awareness, understanding, and effective communication. Hey, it's T. I'm your host, and I, along with my guests, will be covering topics related to drawing good movement. Things like self and social awareness, brain science, positive psychology, extending grace, and so much more. We'll share tools that can help you understand why you are the way you are, why others are the way they are, and how you can use that to step out of self-told lies with grace and compassion to draw good movement in conversations, relationships, and life in rural America. Let's go draw good movement. Welcome back to the Good Movement Draws Good Movement podcast. Today, we have Dawn Kress of Dawn Marie Co. with us. Dawn is a farm wife and farm mama of three girls living her best life in the Midwest in rural Iowa. Dawn is a holistic lifestyle mentor and the host of Harvesting Her Way podcast, where she helps women live as their most authentic selves for themselves and their families. Welcome, Dawn. I'm happy to have you here and excited to dive into the conversation.
Thank you so much, Taryn, for having me. I'm excited.
Before we jump into the conversation, can you tell us a little more about you?
Yeah, I grew up a farm girl on a dairy farm. It's always like in Northeast Iowa, so we're only like 45 minutes from the Mississippi. I started adding the river part because otherwise there's a lot of people who are like, Iowa, is that Idaho? Is it Ohio? And living here my whole life, I'm like, how do you not know? It's like literally the heart of the Midwest. But anyway, all good things. But like I said, I grew up as a dairy farm daughter, loved cows. My parents got divorced, and so it kind of took me to town. But like, we are always connected to agriculture at some point because the town I live in is literally like, or I live outside of now, but it's, I don't even know if it's 900 people. I'm like, it's pretty small. If we keep a grocery store open, it's a good thing. So yeah, my journey has just kind of taken me kind of all over, but I always have had like ag ties. So like I said, I grew up in town, but then in the summers I would do tassel. I would pick up rocks because that's what we do here. So planters and combines don't like ruin snoots with hitting all the rocks that we have in our soil. But that's actually how I met my husband. So it's funny. I was picking up rocks in a field like near the farm he was working on. And then, you know, the rest is history kind of thing there. So he is a hog farmer and we kind of have a different situation, kind of like you, where it's not like the family farm. He started working with the family that he farms with. Like he's a partner now when he was like 14. So it's been going on 30 years, which is kind of crazy. And they've become partners and got him started. So we own sow shares and our own barns, but yeah. And then we have some of our own farm ground, but then we're a part of a bigger operation. So it's kind of cool and unique in our area that it's like, it's considered a big-ish farm, but it's not like a corporate driven. It's literally feeding 4 to 5 different families out of. So it's just really neat. And a little bit about me now is like, I am a corporate dropout is kind of what I title myself as. I have a background in crop insurance, loved it. And I just kept getting this pull after I had like cancer and things like that to just do more things that light me up and what is my joy. And my joy is being closer to the farm. And I have a podcast where I can help inspire other women to get curious about their bodies. So my whole roundabout journey is I've kind of seen it more now that we have another health scare in my family, that it's like life is too short not to live in your joy. And so to get curious about those things and like a lot of our answers lie within that. It's just like we don't see it at the time, which is kind of crazy. So it's a very long roundabout about me, I guess I would say. I think it's different every time, right?
Yeah, that brings me to a question that I ask all my guests because of a hilarious misunderstanding of what good movement means. But because of that, I ask all my guests, what came to mind for you when you first heard the term good movement?
It's funny that you asked me that, and I probably should have like all of my notes around, because when I listened to one of your first episodes, it actually inspired me to have my own podcast topic. And to me, it's all in that communication piece of, it doesn't matter who you're working with, if it's cattle, it's pigs, like this morning, that's what we were doing. We're loading pigs. Or if it's humans, like when you get on that level playing field of you understand each other, so much good comes out of it. Like you feel seen, you feel heard, even if you don't agree on something, and then you get whatever it is done. Like that's what good movement draws good movement mean. That's what I thought of when I first heard it. So it was really cool to hear your actual scientific explanation and the cattle background, because I was like, oh, that totally makes sense. Because hogs are the same way. Like you get them in the right direction, all of them go that same way. Yes, there could be those few scatter, you know, that go the other way in the pen, but they all like to draw in that same way and circle around. So
yeah. And the principle applies no matter what species you're talking about. And it's all rooted in self-awareness. And speaking of self-awareness, you alluded to your cancer diagnosis. And you talk about how that diagnosis served as a sort of wake-up call to stop going through the motions and start living life. Can you tell us a little bit more about that journey and how since then you have been more self-aware, more aware of your body, and then also helping others to do the same?
Yeah, it really was my wake-up call that like we really have two lives. There was another person that had had cancer that I heard that from, and then I was going through cancer the same time she was, and she was probably like 10 years younger than me. And when I said that, I'm like, two lives. We all have two lives. The second one actually begins when we realize we only have one. And I was living that. That was like absolutely what my breakthrough was of like, oh my gosh, I have to turn things around for me if I want to be here. When at the time I had two daughters, if I want to see them grow up, get married, things like that. Like it was a true scary moment. We can all say that, but unless we're put in something that's like threatening our life, we don't truly get it or mean it or stick to anything. So from then on, it was more like my journey had switched on what I was consuming, because I'm like, nobody gave me cancer. Like I get the empathy and sympathy from people, which was very nice, but it's like, I did this to myself. I can't just blame something or someone that's why it got to me. So I was like, what can I do to change that? So I got really curious of how am I moving my body, which I was always very active. I loved running by then, but I was on that roller coaster with food of like eat perfectly during the week, a great salad for lunch, you know, and like just try to be on point all week. And then the weekend would roll around and it was like, woo, like just going full force here. And then I'd shame myself coming back into Monday. And I was like, I have to break this. So I really started eating more like whole foods and real foods. Like obviously I was already married to my husband, so we have loads of pork in the freezer at all times. So I felt good with my protein sources, but a lot of the sides and other things are, you know, like as a mother with two little kids, because at the time when I had my cancer, I had a 3-year-old and a 6-month-old. And so it was a lot of those convenience box foods. And I'm not shaming anyone for eating mac and cheese or having chicken nuggets, but it's like when we live on that survival mode all the time, like our body can't process and heal itself like it's meant to be. And that was my learning. What I was like figuring out as I was researching things, and I felt like I dove headfirst into the self-help movement. I don't know if it was just that aligned time that like all the speakers were out there in the company that I worked with. I got to experience Mel Robbins in person. And that was another pivotal point of like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, just do it. Like rip that Band-Aid off. Do what you say you're going to do. Because to me, I was always scared of when is my cancer going to come back? And it was thyroid cancer. So that is the best, watch my air quotes there, cancer you can get, even though there's no great cancer that you can get, but the survival rate is great. But then I started doing the research of like, oh, I'm more susceptible to get leukemia or whatever else because I had had radiation. And so that's always been in the back of my mind, even though it's been 9 years now of like, when could it rear its ugly head up? So it keeps me in check of like, how am I fueling my body? And so now that that's such a norm for me, I'm making sure that my kids are exposed to those options. So then when they go out into the world or they're hanging out with their friends or, you know, somewhere not with us, they can make those like good choices through what they've learned and know and realize, like, what you consume, especially now as we're knocking on the door of flu season, like what you're putting in your body will determine if you're still healthy enough to play all the activities that they're in, you know, stay healthy at school. So that was kind of my wake up call of like, I want to be healthy and I want to show up for them and I want other people to be able to be healthy. So then it birthed into being a blog that I had started because I felt like this just compelling message that was given to me that I needed to share that with others, that, you know, hopefully me sharing my message will help them get what I had, the outcome of cancer, without them having to have cancer, if that makes sense.
Totally. So you have your ripple effect offering, and that is exactly what happened with you. I mean, the cancer diagnosis started this ripple effect of good movement.
Yes, absolutely. I hate to be cliche, but I kept wanting to plug that in there too. So I'm glad that you did that because it does. It just feels like it's magnetic that that's what it does. So yeah, my offering of having a ripple effect session with me is, it's not always so you eat a certain way or that you get on this perfect diet. For me to have time with whomever my client is at the time of what it is like that they're struggling with or just wanting to feel and have a more fulfilled life. So I go through a series of questions, obviously, just to kind of get to know them. And then I do a breathing exercise and meditation to get underneath of like what they truly want. And then we back into it of, okay, let's brainstorm some things that you know, because we all know what we should eat. We all know how we should move our body. But the knowing going to the doing there's always that gap, like the synapses is just broken, right? So that's where I try to help women see different things that they can do and then break it down even smaller of like, okay, let's commit to doing one or two of those things. Like once they agree on, oh, I could do this and I can, you know, they pretty much come up with the answers themselves. I just get to be that sounding board, which is really cool because I get to experience that aha in them. And then it creates a ripple effect of other good movements for them to make better life choices. So then they feel better, they are better, you know, whatever it is. Like I've seen a lot of different people with, you know, they just want to start eating healthier or they want better habits to implement to have time to move their body or to go to the grocery store that's probably 45 minutes away for their healthier food options. Some of them had hormonal imbalances where it was just like, okay, they wanted to understand their body more to understand what they could do from there. So what I say I kind of give in my like services is just letting somebody be seen and get curious about themselves and use different tools. Like I like to implement the cycle syncing for their menstrual cycles because heck, we use it in agriculture all the time to know when something could be bred. Why not use it for ourselves, right? And then also the human design, where I know you're a big Enneagram fan. So I think those are just all really cool tools that we can get curious enough about ourselves, like what makes us tick. And it's not who do I have to be, it's who I am already, to like embrace who you already are. And I just think that's really neat.
That is really cool. And as you were talking about that, I don't know if you follow Donald Miller. He has Business Made Simple, but he's written a couple of books. And the most recent book, I cannot remember the name of it right now, but he talks about being the guide. So I see you as the guide and letting your clients be their own hero. Mm-hmm. Like you don't want to be the hero of someone else's story, but you can be the guide. And yes. So that's what I was like thinking about as you were talking about that. You're not telling them anything they don't already know. You're just shining a light and guiding them. So that's really cool.
Yes. And it took me a while to like come through that. Cause yes, like I said, I started with a blog. I realized I didn't like writing all that well because my grammar is absolutely terrible. So I hated editing it. And I was like, oh, I love speaking. So I kind of morphed it into a podcast and then I've created different offers for people to understand those things about themselves. But for the longest time, I struggled of like, when somebody asked, what do you do? Like, I truly just feel like a guide instead of like, oh, I have this nutrition plan for you, or this is your workout plan, or, you know, I'm going to teach you all about like human design. It's more, okay, just when you're struggling to figure out what it is, or you're ready to get curious, because I feel that's the biggest part. Like, I never want to push anybody into it, but when they're ready to like they're craving that change, or they just want to feel better, or they want to like enjoy the mundane days because their kids are growing and they're realizing, holy shit, they're going to be gone before I know it. And they just want to enjoy this life. That's when it's like, okay, here, how can I help you? Like, I love being a resource to people and helping them develop. Like, I'm a big Strength Finders fan too. I think that was like way before the Enneagram was like a big thing. And so my top strength is actually a developer, is to like help other people see their gifts. So it's really rewarding when you get to experience that.
Mm-hmm, for sure. If you're struggling to navigate the highs and lows of marriage, family dynamics, and or friendships in rural America, I created the Good Movement Collective just for you. The Good Movement Collective is a 6-month virtual group coaching program, but it's so much more than that. It's a supportive community of rural women just like you, coming together to grow relationally through deepened awareness, understanding, and effective communication. Inside the collective, we follow my Good Movement framework, taking a holistic approach to personal growth. We focus not only on improving communication skills, but also on nurturing emotional and mental well-being while fostering genuine connections. Doors are now open, but spaces are limited, so don't miss out. Click the link in the show notes to continue on your journey of self-awareness, growth, and connection with the Good Movement Collective. So, along this same vein, you work with women to help them utilize their unique skills and be more fulfilled, like we just touched on. But the effects of that work doesn't stop with the women. So how does realizing their skills and living into their authenticity and the good movement that comes from that trickle down to their spouse, kids, peers, et cetera?
Yeah, it's truly that ripple effect. Like, yes, we all experience a ripple effect within ourselves. But then when we start taking care of ourselves, then others see that and it's a motivator to them, which is so cool. So most oftentimes I work with rural mothers because they want to make sure that their kids are getting fed something better, or they have a better life than they had growing up. So it's just really cool because then they're demonstrating that already. Like, they're being a good role model for their own family to want to make those changes without being like, oh, hey, I'm doing this new thing, you should really do it. You know, because as soon as we tell somebody, oh, you need to do this, what is the first thing they do? They like crawl back in their hole. They're like, absolutely not. And I couldn't do that. And I feel like I have that a lot with my husband. I get really excited about something and I'm like, oh, we could do this together. And when I stop pushing, I noticed his like eating habits or movement habits have changed and shift because I wasn't pushing it down his throat. I was demonstrating it. He could see how amazing I was feeling. And that also like reinforced me to continue on, like getting curious about myself and stepping into my own skills instead of trying to be something that I wasn't. So it's just really cool seeing that in my clients when they can uplift like their whole family, and then it just makes enjoyable life.
Yeah. When you were saying you can't tell like, oh, you should try this, I am a firm believer that we can't tell anyone anything. I mean, if they have an open mind, yes, we can tell them. Yes. And they'll learn. But as humans, I think we learn better by example than being told.
Yes. Yeah. It's like some shame trigger that comes on. You know, it's almost like we've had so many years of being in school where we're talked at. I even feel that. And I'm such a like marketing nerd because that was my major, I think, in college, is why I'm like just like that. But I'll see a commercial about something or a drug or a diet, and I just like cringe and I die a little inside, where I'm like, you realize that you're not attracting people, you're actually repelling, or you're attracting those people that just want that like cure all, like, oh, I want to pay for this to go away. And then they're not going to be repeat customers anyway, because it's not going to work, because they're not, like you said, they don't have an open mind. They're not ready to receive that. They just want that quick fix. So
yes,
I see marketing like that. It's like, oh, like, can I please help you?
I can get on a marketing soapbox too, because it's like the vast majority of marketing, it triggers our fear, shame, anger.
Mm.
And that's what gets us to buy. Either we're angry or we're fearful or we're shameful. And that's just not very...
That's not a good business sense, right? Like that's not worth your advertising dollars. It's like, if we could empower and use those better words to like inspire them to like, hey, this is capable for you. You know, it's just all in the wording. And yeah, there's so many of them where it feels like marketing is just still stuck like 40 years behind on some companies where it's like, okay, let's, you know, like, let's look at actual human behavior and what works. So it's like, science. Wow.
Okay. So I'm shifting gears just a little bit, but I was perusing your Instagram and I saw a reel that you had done about your family chore areas.
Like, oh, yes.
Somebody has the bathroom, somebody has the laundry. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that is such a great idea. How did you implement that? How did you get the kids on board, your husband on board? Like, was it just a you started doing it and they imitated, or did you guys sit down and have a conversation about it? I personally, this is a question for me. I personally would love to know more about that.
Yes. Well, I think several years ago, I had went through like this declutter phase, like Allie. Now, well, I can't think of her last name. Allie, like that's me. Allie is like on Instagram, but she did like a declutter challenge. And I was like, I am all about that. And it really ties into like my philosophy of like, if we're stressed, we can't operate, right? You know? And so I am one of those people that when our counter is constantly full of clutter, I just can't handle it. And then as a mother of multiple kids, it was hard to do it all. And I was working full time and doing stuff on the farm and all, you know, and we all have those. So finally, as my kid got older, it was like, okay, well, time out. Before my kids even got older, I was like, I mow the lawn outside. I shovel the snow because my husband is busy on the farm all the time since we have livestock, right? So I'm like, what? And I cook. So you don't like to cook, but what can you do to help? So it was first implemented of like, okay, I'll cook as long as you're emptying the dishwasher. So that was like Ryan's chore. That's how I like started that. And then as the kids got a little older, I think it was Kaden was at least 5 or 6 or so. We would just have like different chore. Like it's kind of progressed. It's been an evolution. And so finally, yes, we have zones. And I love doing that because then you're only on that zone for a week. So each person is giving a zone except for my husband now, because now I have, you know, 3 kids that are helpful, but the youngest is 6. So we kind of tag team. So there's laundry as a rotation. And then there is cleaning bathrooms, which that also tags into cleaning up the dog crap in the yard. Because it's like, you don't have to clean the bathrooms every day, right? So it was like, how can we balance it where somebody wasn't just getting a week vacation off of chores? And then the last one is kitchen. So unloading the dishwasher, emptying the kitchen garbage, that kind of thing. And it made it so much easier that it was like, nobody could remember a whole month to do something, right? And a few days, it's not long enough to stick to it. So a week for us works out great. So that's just how it's worked. So I share that with other people so then they can maybe like form it into their own and how it could work with them. Because depending on how old your kids are, it really varies. So it could even be like, oh, this is the week you got to clean up your room or something. So it is amazing where I don't have to feel like I have to clean all the time. And another confession is I kept trying to get a house cleaner because I was busy and I was like, okay, this is just one thing on my plate. I like to do like the 3 Ds, like the delegation, delete, defer. And that was always coming up. Like, I don't feel like I can keep up on mopping the floors or, you know, just having clean floors or dusting. Like, who has time for dusting once you have like multiple kids? Like, it just doesn't happen. It's a nice thought, but you just don't. So I'm like, okay, I'll hire that out. Well, we went through like 2 or 3 cleaners because it was like, COVID hit. So then everything shut down. And then we tried another couple and they just would never stick. And I'm like, I literally just want them to deep clean for me. And then I realized, okay, I have 3 kids. Like they're old enough. We're just going to tackle this ourselves since the cleaner thing is not happening. So it's evolved a bit now where we've kind of implemented, like, I think it's with laundry now because we have everybody do their own laundry. If you saw the reel where it was like, some of them are freaking out that their jeans got dried, but the other girl wants hers dried. So I'm like, okay, that's it. You all just are in charge of your own laundry. But then whoever has laundry that week has to do like the towels or, you know, whatever else gets conjugated in the bins. But then you also have to clean the floors. And that has been amazing. That has been my favorite. So it's evolved over time. So like I said, when they're little, you're obviously not going to have them like doing laundry because then you might end up with like all pink clothes or something. But yes. So having systems really helps. I don't know. I'm a big meal planner too. So for me, that is something that just takes out the stress of like weeknight. And because I could, you just turn into like an ugly person sometimes when you're just into like decision fatigue. So by having some of those things planned out of like, okay, it's a new week. You know that you're on dishes. We know it's Monday night and we're going to have leftover chili. Like just having that out, off of my like plate and headspace is just a mother like, yay. So
I think that that is such a great implementation, the planning, the chore areas, all of that. That's something that I've been working on in my own personal development is realizing that I have to slow down. I need to take things at a slower pace because of who I am. I have to have a lot of time to think things through. And the everyday mundane tasks have been piling up and it's causing me stress. And so when I saw your reel, I was like, oh my gosh, we are doing that. We are sitting down, we are getting areas designated, and then we can determine how to shift them and all of that. But that,
yes.
And it really, what you said about stress, like if you can get be self-aware enough to figure out areas that stress you out, like yours was the cleaning and the meal, having a meal plan, like that is key in reducing stress. Like figure out where those stressors are, figure out fixes for it, and then you're in a better headspace, which then translates to a better headspace with the people that you love and live with.
Yes. Cause think about like, well, for me, when I'm stressed, then I get like very irritable. I'm short with the kids. And then what do I see back in the mirror is pretty much they get short tempered. They don't have patience. And then we're all like yelling or something over a sock on the floor. Who knows? I don't know what it is, but it just didn't feel good anymore. And I knew like, okay, I can't do it all. And then it was an awareness of like, I don't have to do it all. Yes, I can. And there's a lot of things of like women, like, yes, you might be good at something, but you don't have to do it. It doesn't always have to be done by you. It doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make you a bad mom. And then another thing about that is like kids, they like to feel involved, even especially at a young age. So I almost feel like they're more shapeable younger, like, you know, or like preschool, kindergarten, to get them like doing a simple chore. It doesn't have to be like slave labor type of thing, because my kids honestly enjoy helping pick up rocks because it's something that we do all together and they can feel very accomplished and they're a part of something. Same goes with house chores. Like they might grumble about it once they get older, like my 12-year-old is starting to do, but it also is making her into a good human or a good roommate someday. And it's just like instilling those different responsibilities that, I don't know, I think it's just one of those things that we're just, as parents, we're supposed to install in them. And this is just one way that it's worked for our family to do. So I hope that that works for you guys too.
I think it helps that you all have an area and that, like, to me, it helps if your kids see you doing something and you're not just asking them to do it without you being willing to do it too. So we used to do a 15 minutes after dinner, everybody cleans up, but that just, now that we have junior high sports involved, is did not stick.
Yep. I know, that's what's kind of nice, because yeah, my kids are in like multiple things right now, but it's like, okay, as soon as you get home from school, you know, even if it only takes you 10 minutes, like do that first. Obviously the homework, stuff like that, but it feels like they all do that at school now. I don't know if your junior high aged child is that way too, but it's like you never have homework, but yet the kindergartner has homework. I don't get it, but it's like, just do it during that time. So it's not like, oh, I'm pushing it off. It's also teaching them to do first things first. And then I'm like telling them, you will understand this as you have a job or there's other important things in the world that you have to do, that it just pushes you, that you've like, it's a habit now that you just know you have to do the work first before going to do the next thing. So, and I honestly don't feel like that bad now because I'm constantly the kid Uber. So it's like, okay, you got to help here. Like you don't just get to sit on your phone and then like take care of your 4-H calves and then go do all your activities, like put some skin in the game, right?
Yeah. Thanks so much for coming, Dawn, and talking to us about all that you do and how you kind of got to where you are now. Would you take a minute and tell listeners where they can find you?
Yes. I am on Instagram. That is kind of my main jam, at dawnmarie.co. And then my podcast is called Harvesting Her Way. I would love for you to check it out and give me a follow.
Thanks again so much for coming on. I've really enjoyed our conversation today.
Thank you, Taryn.
Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm so grateful for you. If you found value in this episode, I'd love for you to share with others who might also benefit from tuning in. Share by word of mouth, send it in a text, take a screenshot and post it on social media, or share however you prefer. And if you haven't already, hit the follow or subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Until next time, draw good movement.